Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's my favorite time of the week. Download the Crazy Sheep Podcast. Get you something cold to drink. Get your friends together. Get ready to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, otherwise known as my backyard. And Scotty, I think you might even be at home this week.
I am at home. I'm excited. Getting ready to play some golf this week. So it's going to be nice. Looking forward to it.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. So we got a couple podcasts in. If you hadn't downloaded them yet, we've got the SEC and the Sun Belt. Put those together. And, of course, we started the season with the MAC. As we told you, if you're listening to the second podcast yet, Frank Solich has stepped down at the University of Ohio. And so, is it Ohio University? Excuse me. So he will not be coaching there. The MAC's going to be a lot of toss-up, but you can download that. Give us your feedback on what you think there. And, Scotty, we gave it a little bit of a toe dip into the NIL. And just as we're getting ready to record this podcast, Nicky Saban drops out that his new quarterback's closing in on $1 million worth of endorsement deals.
I mean, man, I said it last time. I think it's going to be a bigger deal than people think. People are going to figure out how to pay players to get guys they want, pays to be the Bama quarterback. I mean, there's going to be some quarterbacks that come on the scene that make a splash this year, you know, whether it's Clemson or wherever. And those guys are going to cash in big dollars. I can't imagine how much money Trevor Lawrence would have made had it been legal. I think it's a fascinating time for college sports. It fortunately really handicaps the NCAA. And according to what I took from Greg Sankey's statement at the SEC Media Day, I don't know if the NCAA is long for life. Just basically said, we're tired of the little schools telling us what to do. We want to do our own deal. And if they do it, then everybody else is going to do it. That's a lot of indirect posturing. I think he's a great athletic director. I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. He followed, I think, a legend in Mike's life, and I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for the job he's done. But he single-handedly saved football last year. We don't play without Greg Sankey. And I think the guy realizes that, you know, he's got a pretty good pulse on what he's doing and getting out and laying it out there that the NCAA may not be a needed entity anymore.
Which would be interesting. I think but when I also saw that Mark Emmert paid himself an extra $2 million last year in a year when most athletic departments were sucking tit, I thought that was fascinating.
It's a total scam. He knows his gig's up. He's got to get paid now because I think his gig's up. Good riddance to the NCAA if it goes away. That's just the bottom line. They've made so many poor decisions and have done so many things poorly. They have earned anything they get down the road by their own poor decision making. So I thought that was interesting. NIL's a big deal. Big deal for Bama paying. You brought up before we got on the air about, when is it that A&M and some schools like that really step up and start paying guys because they're passionate fan bases. That's what I mean. I think this deal blows up over time. I think it's a much bigger deal than I think a lot of people are hoping it's not going to be the deal that I think it's going to turn out to be. And, like I said, we're not even talking about college basketball where there can be real money thrown at people. There's no telling what Zion Williams would have made from Nike as a college freshman. So it's just, it's a different game right now.
It really is. And the quick conversation we're having about A&M is, Jimbo's got this thing moving in the right direction, without a doubt. This is the best it's been in a long time. Texas is still kind of struggling. And, these teams don't play anymore, but they try to pretend they're competing against each other for recruits, so on and so forth. But the fan bases at Texas and the fan bases at A&M are completely different. And the Aggies are loyal. And the Horns have shown they've got the cash. I mean, there's no doubt. They've got war chests full of it. But they've turned their back on this program a little bit. We saw it with Charlie Strong. I think they – with Herman, once he couldn't prove that he got it done, they were ready to jump ship on that as well. And so – if Jimbo can start pulling Houston like he wants to do, it'll be real interesting to me to start seeing if he can separate him from the University of Texas as well as start competing regularly in the SEC West for championships. And so, like I said, we're 2 weeks into this thing, man. We're scratching the surface, and I think it's going to be incredible to watch as we move out for the next year or two.
Yeah, I found it, because we talked about the SEC last week, found it interesting, Dan Mullen at the SEC Media Days talking about, hey, we got a lot of players back. You know, our tight end, we lost Pitts, and everybody thinks, oh, we're starting over at tight end. You combine the statistics of our two guys that are coming back, and I think they'd rank second in numbers in the Southeastern Conference last year. That's a stat I didn't know, I will candidly tell you. And I guarantee you Dan's put pen to paper about it, because he's pretty detailed. And he felt really confident with his quarterback. That was clear. So it's going to be an interesting – he said, had we stood up here last year, he said, y'all have been saying you lost all your wide receivers and they were in the NFL, and yet we had a guy that made the Heisman podium at quarterback. He goes, you know, I feel like we've got a lot of good players in this program and a lot of kids that have played. I don't expect us to have any step back. And, you know, at the end of the day, Dan Mullen is as good of a football coach as there is, X and O wise, just like we said. And that was interesting to see him see that. He clearly thinks that they're going to be a pretty good football team again. So, pretty interesting start to the media day. So, just kind of finding out. I've not had a chance because I was so busy today. I'm fascinated to hear what Kirby Smart had to say, and because I think Kirby is very much what we said, and I've heard that multiple times this week, in that he's no different than Mark Richt. And they're saying, well, if he doesn't win it all this year, then he's a lot like Mark Richt. Go look at the records. He is Mark Richt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the bottom line. He hadn't done anything else. Oh, he made the playoff, almost won the national championship. Like I said, so would Richt had there been a 14 playoff. And this is college football, I think, is going to change as much over the next 36 months as it did after the SEC championship took place and all the leagues started championships. And that was our first, you know, realignments and things like that. So I think it's going to be a lot of changes that go on in the next 36 months, because this NIL changes things. And who gets involved dollar wise? I mean, look, I mean, can anybody really probably match Stanford's money? You know, with what their boosters make? I mean, they got so many guys starting tech startups. And I mean, I feel like about every third billionaire that started a tech startup went to Stanford. I mean, what happens if those guys start paying people? One of those guys has got to be a football fan, doesn't he? I mean, I would think. And, I mean, it's just, this has the potential to change. Is it potential? Absolutely. But it just takes one or two people to get involved. It takes one Alabama quarterback making $1 million in endorsements, and everybody else gets envious, and boom goes the arm race. And if you don't think it can be an arms race, just go look around at stadiums and weight rooms and indoor practice facilities. They have spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and now they can give that money all of those kids directly. I just think this has got the potential to be a big deal.
It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you, if you're talking about Mullen in stats, the one stat he didn't look at or he didn't talk about was Emory Jones in a small sample size from last year. I think it was 56 passes, 56 or 36 that Emory Jones attempted. When he threw into a zone, his QBR was right around 100. And when he threw into man, which was half of those times, his QBR was 2.
Nice.
So it'll be interesting to see how he progressed from spring and getting ready for this, or if coaches are just going to come out and play some press coverage and say, come on, kid, let's see what you got.
And get after it. Are you saying that he probably didn't read the blitz very well? Because that's what I'm probably equating that
to.
Yeah,
it does not seem as though he was quite on top of what was going on in the play. So that all being said, let's get to talking about making some money, putting some wagers down, and diving in. Scott, we're going to talk about the Big 12. My home conference that we've got here. And we are going to start at the top. We're going to start with the Oklahoma Sooners. If you look at this team, I think it's really interesting. Spencer Rattler comes back. Obviously, he's going to be a sophomore this year. He was very highly recruited coming out of Arizona to plug into this system. He's actually the first quarterback that Lincoln Riley's had come in that was not a transfer, that had already had starting experience somewhere else. And so this will be the first quarterback that we've seen Riley take from high school and bring him in. I've got high expectations for what this kid's going to achieve. I think we'll see him take a massive leap forward this season. just because he had a full season, then he had spring. You got to remember, these kids didn't play spring ball and hardly any summer camp. They didn't get to see each other. And so now he's got over a year under his belt coming in. The offensive, you know, coordinator's back intact. Lincoln still calls a lot of the plays. The O-line plays great. The running back plays great. The wide receiver plays great. I think offensively this team's going to be explosive. They were top 15 in last year in overall rank as far as explosive plays and efficiencies. So I like what they've got there. Flip it over to the defensive side. And that was the talk about, you know, what was going wrong with Oklahoma when they had great offenses, but defensively they were just getting gashed. Alex Greenwich came in from Washington State a few years ago. You pointed it out with the first guys, like, this guy's going to change it. And go look at what he's done to their defense. Same thing he did at Washington State. He knows how to build a defense around an explosive offense. I mean, he knows what you got to have to recruit. You got to have two and three deep, you know, in your front four. You got to be able to play some press coverage. You got to be able to turn the ball over and get off the field. He's put that together. This team defensively last year, if you go look at most of the key stats where they rank, this is a top 20 unit. And I think they're better this season. I really like the Oklahoma Sooners. I've got them favored in every single game. And where I bet this team was, I bet them at minus 170 to win the conference. You are laying a ton of juice. But I just cannot see this team losing two games. To not get into the Big 12 championship, they would have to probably lose two games in the regular season. And I can't see that happening. And then I can't see them getting to that championship game if they're undefeated or with one loss, knowing if they win, they've got a shot to go, you know, play for the national championship. And that's where I like this team. I think they've got the talent. They bring back a ton of kids. They're going to be physical. They're going to be fast. And I just do not think this team's going to step on their dick this year. Their road games are at K-State, Kansas, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. They catch West Virginia, TCU, Texas Tech, and Iowa State all in Norman. And obviously they've got Texas on, you know, at the neutral in Dallas. And so the schedule even sets up really well for them. So I'm excited for the Sooners team. I think they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Sooners are going to be good. They're certainly a national championship contender. The thing about the conference that obviously having to play the conference title in the round robin, and then you know you're playing a team you've already played in a situation with Oklahoma, boy, you could see them beating Iowa State and then having to turn around and play them again 2 weeks later at a neutral site.
No way.
That'd be tough. And could that cost them a shot at a national title? And look, vice versa, because I think Iowa State's probably the second best team in this league. Does it cost them one if Oklahoma evens the score, if they lost, or, you know, anything like that? I think it's a tough deal for the league, and especially this year with them just playing 2 weeks ahead of time, that could be an interesting end to the season. I don't disagree with you. The number, that's too much juice for me to lay for that long off, but I do think the Sooners are the best team in the league, and I think this could possibly be their best team. I agree with you. I think Grinch's defense is going to be better. I'm going to tell you, I think Eric Gray is going to have a gigantic year for the Oklahoma Sooners at running back, transfer from Tennessee. I think that kid's explosive. I think he's tailor-made for this offense. Got the ability to catch the ball but can run the football as well. I think he's got a chance to have a really, really good year for those guys.
Yeah, I agree. That being said, Scott, second-best team in the conference to me is going to be a toss-up. I'm going to go Iowa State or Texas. Which one do you want to lean to in that spot?
I like Iowa State. I think they're better just simply – but by what they've got back, I mean, this is a school that's basically got everybody back from a 9-3 football team last year. And, you know, I think they're going to be really good. And, you know, they did exactly what we said. They lost, you know, to Oklahoma in that Big 12 title game after, you know, after winning. They're not going to lose a non-conference game, I don't think. If they start off with another loss to Northern Iowa, whew, that's going to be a significant disappointment. But they do get Iowa week two, but that won't hurt them in conference play on an overall record, so I think they're going to win the league.
Yeah,
that'll be the second best team in the league, I should say.
Their schedule is the only reason I'm not as high on Iowa State, because I think they've got several toss-up games that are in there, and the Iowa game's a toss-up. It looks like Iowa State's going to be, I think they're listed at a 4-point favorite, last I looked. I'll pull it up here in a minute. But then their road games are not great. And so this is, you're going to find out what goes on. And the other thing, too, this year is they're not going to sneak up on anybody. I mean, Matt Campbell, we've been following this guy since he was in the MAC. You know, he runs that three. The only thing I don't like is he runs a solid 3-3-5 defense, and it's kind of that cloud effect, and it's shut down OU at times. But it's a lot of bend, don't break style that you've got from here. But this is a good team. This is, I mean, Iowa State is so far ahead of where they were when Paul Rhodes was let go. And I think Matt Campbell is looking, you know, I think there's a reason he's back. And the fact that he knows he's got a really good team. And he wants to see what he can achieve here. Because I know for a fact he was getting sniffed around on even some NFL top jobs. So, you know, this is going to be a great team. But, Scotty, where I want to go is Fort Worth, Texas. And let's talk together about my main man, Sweaty P, and what he's got going on for Trash Can University and the Horned Frogs. Because I love this team this year. What you got on these guys?
I like these guys as well. Look, we've both, I think, liked Max Duggan for a while. I mean, he's, you know, look, he's, this is what, year three, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's only a sophomore, but the kid's been playing forever. And, you know, so I think, you know, I look for him to really make some, to make a step forward. He's been beat up. Can that line protect him? But they've got four or five starters back. I mean, you feel like that this could be the year for Patterson to kind of get it back on the skids, because it's not been a good football team. I mean, since it's been 2017 since they won more than seven games.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
You know, and so, I mean, I think this may be the year for them to get it back. They like lots of schools. They got tons of people back. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. They did not fare very well in the turnover category. They got some bad breaks. You know, I think this team defended the football pretty well last year, so I expect that to be a real key this year for them. Got to create some turnovers. Didn't do a good enough job of doing that last year. But I think they've got a chance to be good. You know, we've talked about this a good bit from a schedule standpoint. I like their schedule and the ability to get it going fast. That game, October 2nd, with Texas coming into town, is a big deal. The only thing I don't like about the Horned Frogs is when their off date is. And we always talk about the off date coming late, and you start playing 6 or 7, 8 weeks in a row, and teams get beat up. Well, they end with 10 straight. So, I mean, the back end of that schedule, at Oklahoma State, Kansas, at Iowa State, boy, I don't see them winning either one of those two games, because I think they're just going to be – I think that's going to get rough at that point, that many games in a row. And that late in the season, it's already going to bang you up. I think they could play, you know, Baylor at Lance Leopold's house and they'd still win. Because, I mean, not Baylor, but Kansas. I think they could play Kansas at Leopold's house and they'd still win that game. They play Baylor on the 6th. They got to figure out how to win that ball game at home. That's the key to this schedule to me. But, boy, their over-under is low. I think this team sails over the number. I think they got a chance to win 8 or 9 games.
I agree with you. It's my second favorite play that I've got in the Big 12 so far that I've actually laid is them to go over the win total. I think it's a manageable number. I would play it all the way up to 8.5. I wouldn't play it over that, but I think they can definitely be a 9-win football team. This is, like I said, they've got everybody back. I read an interesting article, I think it was in The Athletic today. Max Duggan was getting interviewed. And, you know, the kid had a heart condition, I think. It's a heart or lung condition.
Yeah.
Something to that, respiratory, anyway. And so he wasn't cleared to play until the 3rd or 4th game of the season last year. And so,
well, wasn't it COVID and it affected him, or was it not?
It may have been something like that, but it's something strange, or something not normal anyway. It wasn't an injury. But, and the reason I bring that up is I can probably find the article and I'll post it. But, you know, he came out and said openly, he said, I literally did not have the cardio to stay upright, you know, at the end of the season. I was just gassed. And so I think this year he said he's going to be ready. He's got the spring, everything. And you've got some way crazy talent. Now, my favorite ever, and I don't know if you found this or not, was Gary Patterson coming out at Media Days, or coming out and talking about Zach Evans. So if you don't know who Zach Evans is, Look him up. But he was the number one running back recruit in the state of Texas, and I think one of the top two or three in the country. He committed to LSU. He committed to Georgia. And while he's at the state championship game in Texas, he gets thrown off the team the night before the game because he won't give his coach his cell phone. And then his recruiting spins out of control. He was supposed to go to Tennessee. He doesn't. And then he ends up signing with Texas way deep in the spring. But Scott, last year, his freshman year, and Gary said he is a smart kid, finished up his freshman year with a 3.75 GPA.
Love it. You gotta love it, baby.
I read that quote and I was like, man, that is so fantastic. Because probably hardly anybody that reads that knows who that kid is. But anyway, they've got a ton of talent. They've got tremendous speed. They've got some big wide receivers. I like this TCU team a lot. I'm gonna be on the trash can train. Scott, we can't leave the Big 12 without talking about Texas. Cutty Sark, new coach coming in here. Steve Sarkisian takes over, as always, with any Texas roster. It's a lot of talent that you've got. The thing you always hear about Texas is they've got a culture issue. They've got a culture issue. I don't know that they're ever going to fix a culture issue. I mean, people complained about it even back when Mack Brown was there, that it was more of a country club than what Alabama was running. So I don't know what your play is to get through there. This team nationally recruits still really well. They can recruit anybody they want in the state of Texas. They've probably got the number 5 to 10 talent level schedule, or talent ranks in the country. Sarkisian to me is one of the best, if not the best, play callers, offensive coordinators around. Every team he gets into play with, he's made them better. I know you can say, hey, he had last year with Alabama, but keep in mind, he took over. Mac Jones hadn't played much. We were on his train big time. He had those receivers, Najee Harris. But, I mean, that offense last year was so balanced that the play calling was so good. And it just blowing teams out. That's the reason taking Bama in those first half overs and first half to covers was so easy, because his scripted play calling was just so much better than anybody else's defense. And I think Alabama, I'm not going to bet that coming in the season because I don't like Bill O'Brien a whole lot. And I don't know they're going to go with that. But I think Texas has got a chance to be in some games. Offensively, this team's going to be really good, a lot of explosion. Defensively, this team ranked about 50th last year, which is kind of a surprise. So that's where they're going to struggle. I think we may be looking at some totals for this University of Texas team because they may get into some shootouts. I do not think they've got a chance to win the Big 12. I think they can win 8 to 9 games. Therefore, I'm going to back off of them. But I'm really excited to watch Texas this year. I don't think they're back, but I think we're going to – I think we're starting to get a little bit closer to seeing a Texas program that's, you know, going to be talked about more on a national level other than just joking about them on Sunday nights.
Yeah, the fascinating dynamic for me is what Sarkisian does with Kyle Flood. Is Flood just – is he there? Is he calling plays? Is Sark calling plays? That's an interesting dynamic to me. I really like his defense coordinator hire. Goes and gets the defense coordinator from Washington that was there for, oh, forever. Kwiatkowski, I think is how you say his name, that was under Peterson all those years. And, of course, Sark had a little time at Washington, so I'm sure they had somehow or another made contacts. That's a really good hire, because that was – a quality defense at Washington, and it's a guy that's going to be able to come in. Here's the deal. I think Texas, they are different. Their fan base is different. Could it be culture? For sure. The only way to overcome that is leadership. That starts at the top. Can Sarkisian get that and find kids that have that blue-collar mentality that'll come in and work? Say what you want about Nick Saban's program. Those kids come in and grind. And they're all big-time recruits. And they could go other places and not grind like that. But he finds a way to get so much out of those kids. And the flip side is, he finds a way to get kids to sit pine for 36 months before they get a chance to play, or play a lot. And, I mean, look, Brian Robinson's at this year at running back.
Yeah.
And I just think the job he does in leadership and establishing that mindset is the key. And that's what Sarkisian's got to do to me if he's going to fix it. They've got talent. They're going to be able to get talent. There's enough talent in the state of Texas they can get. that, you know, that's, you know, that's outstanding. It's really, what can he do from a leadership standpoint and getting the kids to buy into that vision of what he does. That's the only way to fix it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I think they're going to be fun this season. They've still got a ton of talent. They're going to sling it, brother. They are going to put some points up. They've got that, so it'll be good. But rest of the Big 12, I don't know, man. I think Baylor can probably beat up on some inefficient teams. Defensively, they'll be strong. Offensively, I have no idea what you're going to get from a production standpoint. West Virginia's kind of fascinating to me, but you probably like West Virginia more than I do in this spot.
I do. There's no doubt. I like Neil Brown. I think they're going to be better, but boy, I hate their schedule. You know, they. I mean, who is making the schedule for these guys? I mean, they play non-conference games at Maryland and Virginia Tech at home. They play a 9-game league schedule. I mean, I think that's insanity when you've got a guy like Neil Brown in his third year trying to build a program. That's not setting a guy up for success. So that's one reason I'm not really talking about them with the over-under total. They don't have very many gimmies, you know, to do. But I do think they're going to be better. Still think Neil Brown's a really, really good football coach. Think they're going to be good. Mullet's the other guy that the non-mullet, I should say, with Mike Gundy. That this year fascinates me. They were a total disappointment last year, and then you look up, and they were 8-3.
Yeah.
You know, and I just didn't feel like they were explosive. And maybe it's because I thought Chuba Hubbard was going to have such a great season, you know, and then didn't dominate, I guess, the way I was expecting him to dominate. So anyway, those are the two teams to me that I think are always are you know, wild cards in this conference, and they're going to make or break some of the other teams we talked about seasons.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. And like I said, Kansas is still putrid. And I think Leopold may regret that he took that job in about 15 more weeks. He's going to be like, whoo, this team really sucks.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, kudos to them, though, because at least they finally went out and got a coach.
That's
and
true.
Didn't go hire some guy who failed at Notre Dame or, you know, got fired at LSU or, you know, whatever. They went and got a guy who can coach and won at every level. I'm fascinated to see what he does up there, because that job is one of the worst jobs in the country. And how much time do they give him
job
to fix it? Because it's going to take a lot of time to fix it.
It's the worst job in the country. There's no doubt about that. I don't like that at all. So anyway, two plays coming out of the Big 12 for us. I played the over. Or excuse me, I played OU to win the conference, laid all the way up to -170 on that. And then Scotty and I both like TCU to the over. We think this is probably an 8-9 win team. So, Scott, in wrapping up Big 12, we got two plays. Got a couple that we're feeling out about that, but I'm not seeing anything else in the Big 12. The one thing I would tell you is maybe take a look at OU's chances to win the Natty. I think this team defensively and with the depth, they've got a shot now, and you're still seeing some numbers between 6 and 8, 10 to 1 in there. If you want to take a flyer, if you think Bama and Clemson or, you know, even Ohio State are teams that are maybe stepping out of the way this year.
I think they got a legit chance. And look, we're going to get to the Pac-12. I think there's a couple teams in the Pac-12 that can make some noise this year as well.
So, folks, download us. You can hit us up on Twitter. He's at Scott Denson 1. I'm at Net Mark. You can actually follow us on at The Crazy Sheet. You can send us emails to thecrazysheet2021@gmail.com. We try to answer those. We'll get a mailbag out before the season starts. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for the download.